As COVID continues to ravage through communities everywhere, the strain of isolation, especially now with winter upon us, restrictions and lockdowns, it's taking a toll on everyone. Many have lost their homes, their jobs, businesses, and now childcare. We've also been affected by our normal ways of dealing with it, like going to traditional therapy. Joining us this morning is Cree Larson. Cree is the executive director of First Call for Help and a member of the crisis response team here in Itasca County. Good morning, Cree.
Good morning, John.
Thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it. Social distancing now protects our physical health during this COVID crisis. However, it endangers everyone's mental health. It just kind of feels like a perfect storm, resulting in just increased cases of suicides and overdoses. And we're not going to be having a pleasant conversation here, but, you know, you're around this all the time, and I just want to know what's going on out there.
John, the pandemic has lasted so much longer than I think any of us had anticipated. And I think at first we all had good solid structures underneath us, most of us, for support and to get through, and now some of that's wearing thin. Depression is up, isolation, disengaging. Even in our senior population, we're finding failure to thrive because senior citizens in care facilities aren't getting human touch. And Zoom certainly disengage with family members and therapists, but it can't replace what hugs and shared laughter and shared meals and human touch provides for people. A lot of things have changed, and it's impacting mental health in a significant manner in Itasca County.
And I hate to say this, but it's only going to get worse, isn't it, because of winter?
I think so. That's a fear, is individuals who might suffer from seasonal affective disorder already and know that winter's tough with lack of vitamin D. Isolation tends to increase a little in the winter because of weather. Is going to be intensified having COVID on top of it.
Yeah, and then, you know, you might have a single mom with two or three children, or you may have a traditional couple, and then there's homeschooling, and it's just being impacted. So, Cree, I've heard and read some alarming statistics about suicide and drug overdose increase. Wasn't it something like 32% suicide increase and, you know, the high 30s for drug overdoses?
It is. So those are Itasca County specific stats compared to last year, comparing 2019 to current. And that's through 32% higher in Itasca County and 38% for drug overdoses. That's really alarming. And I think it has a lot to do with AA, NA, Al-Anon meetings having to not be face-to-face and many on Zoom. And so those communities, our CD community, have identified this is no longer working for us. And many of the groups have found ways to safely meet face-to-face. Meet in groups, using masks, disinfectant, all of those things to make sure, because they're seeing that their communities are starting to unravel. Individuals who've had, 7, 9, 14 years of sobriety, have a solid life, have relapsed. And their foundation of their groups, their home groups, have taken a toll, as well as individuals with mental health services in place that are isolated at home. Zoom doesn't quite work. Telephone calls aren't the same. Feeling alone and isolated. There's a lot of pressure too, John, like you said, with having to homeschool, losing employment, losing sources of income, not being able to engage with family one-on-one. It's a lot, and it's been a long time of this kind of pressure in our community for individuals.
We're speaking with Cree Larson. She's the executive director of First Call for Help and a member of the crisis response team, which I'm assuming has been extremely busy. But you mentioned about people who are, suffering from alcohol or drug addictions. What about people with mental health? Are people with mental health only able to get therapy via Zoom, even if they have that, or what's the deal behind that? Because in normal conditions, it's hard to get an appointment with a mental health professional.
Right. So each provider is doing things a little differently. Most providers are doing Zoom. Some providers are doing one-on-one. And so it makes it tough. Making sure that you have Wi-Fi connectivity, an electronic device that is a smart device to Zoom with. Those are all barriers that we've been trying to, as a community, through mental health providers, First Call for Help, Landon, Grand Rapids Area Community Foundation, all trying to remedy how to make sure that we can get electronic devices to people so that if Zoom is their only mechanism to get to a provider, that they have access to that.
So I'm go ahead.
John, I wanted to make sure that the listeners know and understand that through the entire spectrum of COVID so far, the crisis response team has always and will continue to do face-to-face assessments with protective gear, masks, distancing, to make sure that we can help remedy some of the issues that are going on. So we've always met face-to-face, and that hasn't changed.
So, Cree, if someone cannot come to you, do you go to them?
We do. Yes, we do. Wow. We'll go to homes. We'll go to parks. We'll meet them at a store. We'll meet them in a parking lot. Wherever they are that they're in need, the crisis response team will respond to them.
So the phone, I'm sure, has been ringing off the hook. What are most of your common calls about?
Suicide.
Oh, boy.
Thoughts of suicide. Many people scared because it's the first time they've ever had an experience of that, and they're not sure what's going on. A lot of individuals calling in saying, I've slipped in my recovery, and I'm using right now, and I need help getting back on that path to recovery. The calls are also becoming more intense, John, with the numbers. So from August to September, when I pulled our stats, 400 more calls came into the call center in a one-month span. And now already, this far into October, we're 600 more than we were in September. That's about 20 more calls a day. And the duration and intensity is more. So rather than 11 to 12-minute call, they're averaging all the way up to 41 minutes a call.
So, Cree, how can we possibly, you and your staff, everybody in all the counties, how can we take care of this many people? Help this many people?
I think it's all stretching us as far as we can stretch in keeping our passion about our work, keeping healthy ourselves, because the demands on us helping others is much more intense. I think it's more than just a provider need, John. I think that we as individuals, reaching out to a neighbor, reaching out to someone at church, stopping and just taking time to make a phone call, wave at a distance, talk to someone across the driveway from you, any kind of connection. This is really we're all in it together situation right now, and it's the only way we can remedy it. We don't have enough providers in our county, even as dedicated as they are, to meet the needs of what we've got going on right now with mental health and chemical health regarding COVID.
You know, it's interesting you say reach out to people. I have found myself a lot lately, just texting people who I haven't talked to in a while, perhaps, or maybe someone that's struggling. Just a simple, how's it going? You can just tell. And even for myself, it's of great benefit.
Absolutely. And John, another thing I tasked the county requested of First Call for Help is to host a website that helps providers make it through these struggles, keeping energy and self-care. And that's stableembrace.com.
Say that again.
Stableembrace.com.
Okay.
And so it's a collective community of reminding providers even if it's a daycare provider, how to stay healthy, how to take care of yourself to the best of your ability with a bunch of different tools and ideas to make it through COVID. This is a COVID-specific, how we're going to get through this together as a community. Hmm. And we get about 1,400 hits on that website every month. People coming on, trying something new, and leaving an idea. It's a collective growing community of let's take care of ourselves and share those tricks with each other.
Well, we all have to deal with it in some fashion. I know that I am so thankful. I used to have horses, but I'm so thankful for my dogs. I can't tell you how the important role of dogs have played in my life. And I know I threw some silly comment out to you, but I think it's true. Yeah. What gives you some joy?
Smelling my horses, just the smell of them and the feel of them, and that unconditional love that our animals, whether it be a cat, dog, horse, give us. And so when you text me and said, I bet you're spending a lot of time with your horses, you bet I am, extra rides this summer. And one of the things, John, I think I always try to reframe stressful events and find the positive outcome. Yeah. And I think for COVID, some of the positive has been forcing families to be outside, be in a yard, be on a walk, be together. There's many stressors it's brought, but there's always some positives. And so we've seen the horseback riding equine community, a lot of rides. I've seen a lot of people out walking their dogs and in kayaks and on the water.
Yeah.
And these are all great ways of knowing that COVID doesn't mean you have to isolate in your home.
Yeah, lots of people walking, and there's lots of dogs that have lost weight.
Yes, right. Yes.
And hopefully people too.
Right.
Well, Cree, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for the work you do. You are an extremely dedicated person to this task, and I have goosebumps talking to you. So hopefully we'll run into each other one of these days.
I hope so too, John. I hope you feel the hug through the line.
All right. Thanks, dear. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye. That is Cree Larson. She's the executive director of First Call for Help, and she's also on the crisis response team.